A joy to be with you folks. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Hey, this is a good crowd. Man, I've done everything I could to chase you guys off, but you're just too much. That's good. Praise God. Hey, you're strong. I like that. We need some soldiers. They're going to stick when others run. Amen. Praise God. That's what we have. We have a bunch of soldiers here. I was thinking today. Now, my grandson, he plays these video games, Xbox games and things like that, and the war games. And I know some of you kids do that as well, some of you grown-up kids. I'm sure there's folks in here do that too. Well, anyway, when I go over to play with him, he's 21 now, but I really don't like to play with him. I asked him, I said, you played that thing before? Have you ever tried to play a video game with someone who's already been through it before? I mean, that boy, that's crazy. I mean, every time I'm trying to figure out where the X and the Y, I think there's an A on there too. But I'm still trying to figure out this. So you folks are still trying to figure out the instruction manual. Been through the instruction manual. Folks, I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible teaches. You think you... No, I've just been in that book for 27 plus years. I know. Well, the 21-year-old grandson, he knows how to get through that thing. Man, he's been through that thing so many times. Every time I get on here, next thing, I'll bloop, bloop. He transport me to another section of the game. And I'm thinking, well, what happened? Oh, Papa, you're slow. Oh, bloop, bloop, bloop. What happened? Well, you back over. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Gosh, man, I don't want to play with you. Oh, man. Ain't no sense. And all of a sudden, you're just going, bloop, bloop, bloop. What happened? Well, you're supposed to shoot back. Oh, man. You know, there's so many. And all of a sudden, you'd be walking around. All of a sudden, somebody'd come out of this corner and boom. I thought, well, he knew he was there. See, he was, my grandson didn't go that way. He went this way. He said, well, Papa, because he's already been there. He'd done that. It's a done deal. It was so... Folks, I'm telling you, the victorious, the Christian walk is a simple walk. It's not complicated. You've complicated your walk with God. It's not that. So don't give up. You're still trying to figure out the X, Y, and Z, the move. I'm trying to think. See, I don't know much about that. I don't even know what they do. But I do know something because, see, that's just this. I told you I have a passion. I don't have a passion to play a video game with my grandson. I do it because I love him, and I have no clue. And it's a waste of time more than just to be there. And I get to zip and zip and zip. Next thing you know, it's done. But I was there, and you know I have a chance to influence him a little bit. He just got saved. Amen. And so now there's my 11-year-old. He playing the video game, and I'm talking to him about sin and God, and he turns it off. He goes over there and lays down on his bed and covers his head up, and he said, Papa, I don't want to talk about this no more. Well, what'd you do? Well, I said, well, Papa done. Papa going to do? Papa, And so I just begin to walk out, you know, and he got up, turned his game back on, and as I said, I'm going to go now, he come running in there and he grabbed a hold of my leg. And he said, I love you, Papa. I said, I love you too. Well, I'll get another opportunity, I'm sure, maybe. maybe spend time with my 11-year-old grandson. But praise God, the 21-year-old. But I said, don't give up. I'm going to share some more with you. They're going to help you to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to just try to, you know, in these games that you... And, you know, I don't really use that because some of you folks are familiar with it. There's different things you can get if you play long enough and hard enough and you find this. There's a little nugget over here in this little box. And if you know where the box is, my grandson already knows the best gun, man. He's already got it. He got me this little thing going boom, boom, boom. I said, where'd you get that? He said, well, you got to go to where to find it. So he... Does that make any sense to anybody in the room? Not these girls, I'm sure. I haven't figured out the way to... I just thought about that today. I don't know about the girls, how they do it. But anyway, y'all have to figure it out, because I know you're not interested in all that game stuff. But But I'm just, if we can get the dads in here on board, they're going to convey it to you girls what it's like. But anyway, but you know, but I'm just trying to give you some nuggets. I'm trying to give you some things that are going to help you defeat the devil. Hey, did you know you can defeat the devil? You might not know that. But the Bible says you can defeat the devil. And I can't remember where it's at because I never thought of it until just now. But submit yourselves. Thank you, Lord. Give him credit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, Norm. Oh, really? Oh, he's a defeated foe. Oh, yes, son. Yes, he was defeated at the cross. Well, he don't act like he's very defeated. Well, he's been defeated already, son, and he's a defeatable foe. Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's enough. I got something now. I'm ready now. Come on. I can defeat the devil as old as he is. Did you know that I can do that? You can do that. Now, you might not know that because you didn't find a little chest. You didn't find a little goodie box, you know. Good. Y'all need to play more video games. No. But anyway.
You're not helping, brother.
Yeah. Y'all don't spend time with your grandson? Yeah. Well, anyway. Maybe that was a bad illustration. Did one person get it? God bless you, sis. Forget the rest of them. All right. It can be for one. That's all right. As long as one gets it, that's fine. But I'm simply saying, you know, those are... But how do you resist the devil? I'm going to give you a nugget. You can resist the devil by being obedient to God. No, you didn't like it, did you? Well, it's the truth. You see, you go home, turn on the television set, something comes on TV not fit to watch. So you apply Scripture. Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, if you will obey the Lord, God says, now, son, that's resistance. Devil going to flee from you. Now, he'll flee right now, but I'm telling you what, he's just like a bad guy. He's coming back to get you when you're not looking. Anyway, I guess that's what I learned out of that. But anyway, I hope it helps somebody. Because I just thought, man, you know, I'm just trying to convey truth, trying to get it across to some of you folks. I don't know where you are. My grandson, 21 years old, he got saved November last year. I'll tell you what, he's a mess. He's an absolute mess. But you know what? There's hope for a man. There's hope for him. I can't stop and think about where God found me 27 years ago. Hey, as long as I see my boy... Make a little step. It may be a baby step. Glory. Go for it, man. You're doing good. Would you let me have a chance to catch up? Oh, he never. So anyway, he said, I got a game. I said, have you played it before? Yeah. I said, don't even bother me. Don't doing that. So don't do that. So, okay, let's get started because this is a long message and I hope. I hope you still love me. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28. If it'll just convey, I'm giving you a nugget. You know that you are a soldier. Did you know that you are to endure as a good soldier? Hey, folks, you're in a battle right now, and you don't even know it. Have you got your armor on? Can you imagine fighting and have no shield? Breastplate. God's people go out all the time, fight the devil. And they don't put their armor on. No wonder we're so many casualties. You're the devil. And so we're going to, I'm just trying to help you. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. God said, listen, son, you're a city. You're as a city that is broken down and without walls. Now you've got to apply that. Application is saying, Norm, if you have no rule over your own spirit, Norman, you a city. You a city broken down, and you don't have no one. You an easy target. Now, that's getting it, an application. Now, what does all that mean? Judges 15, verse 16. You don't need to turn. Judges chapter 15, verse 16. Samson said, can you imagine this man? He said, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Now, listen. He could not control, however, he could not control. Oh, man, have you ever done anything like that? Here's a man that could do something great. but he could not control his own carnal lust. Here's a man who could carry a city gate on his back, almost how many miles? 40 miles. I'm talking about a big gate. It wasn't no little tiny door like we got. Huge. But he could not resist a girl. He could not resist Delilah. Something wrong with a man like that, huh? He could not rule himself. Well, that was given for admonition, you know. Do you want your husband to be 100% faithful, or do you want him to be 99% faithful? He said, I want him 100% faithful. Oh, shame. Well, boy, what makes you think he can do that? Well, he better do that. I'll get rid of him. Okay. But anyway, you know what the problem is? You just not made a decision yet. So you're not serious in your walk with Christ. You just, I hope, you're grateful you got saved, right? You like him. You appreciate him. But you don't love him enough to make a commitment. Right? Y'all fall, you win the same book, right? In the same page, going the same way. Catch up. Come on. We need help up here. The battle's raging. America's going to hell and God's people are sleeping. You're still in, folks, you're still in the nursery. You're running around like me trying to figure out where the X, Y, and Z is, trying to figure out what next. I'm just trying to transport you up. Come on. We need some help up here. I'm nowhere close. If you don't take me like a 9-year-old, you're going to write me off. My favorite color is?
Green.
All right. What'd you hear? Good. All right. Whew. So, listen. He could not rule himself. How much more is it true of Christians? Now, folks, that's what I am. I'm a disciple. I'm dedicated. You're looking at someone who is committed. I'm not ashamed of it. Now, you might not be committed yet. I'm committed. And that means certain things I don't do no more. Certain things I don't say. Some things I don't, you know, because I want to be 100% faithful to the one who loved me and died for me. Now, you might not have made that commitment yet. Well, you're never going to be the Christian you ought to be until you make a commitment like you made to your wife, like you made to your mate. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's another one of them nuggets that you can take with you. And so you got to make the commitment. Maybe that's the problem. Your Christian life is going nowhere. Prayers seem to be ineffective. You don't have any victory over the old sin nature that you have. Those are things you got to think about. Okay, so how much more is it true for the Christian in the spiritual realm? As Christians, listen, you're locked into battle with the devil and with satanic forces. When's the last time you heard someone say something like that? Oh, man, this is all right. This ain't South Africa. This ain't Africa. Oh, you better wake up. Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, no sir, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, folks, that's not a minor thing. You don't wrestle against someone who is powerless. And my friend, if you are wrestling against the devil, it is because the devil has real power. He's not to be ignored. He's not to be treated lightly. He is not the boogeyman, and he's not something under your bed, and boom. He's a real person. Wake up. He is as real as anyone in his room is real, and he is powerful. Now, that is why Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That means to get your mind in gear. Get it out of the gutter. Get in gear. And then he goes on to say, vigilant. Now, that word vigilant means to be watchful. Be on the lookout for danger. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, now your walls are down. You're an easy mark because you have no rule over your own spirit. And so you've got an adversary. And God, and Peter said, now I want you to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, can you see the devil sneaking up on you? Quietly stalking, and suddenly pouncing on you. That's not what he's talking about. The devil's not sneaking up on you. The devil is coming at you like a lion roaring wildly. I know CPR now. Do this CPR. Hey, what would that do to you? That'd scare you. I'll tell you what, somebody come roaring out of the underbrush, he's going to scare you. Oh, man. He wants to devour you from off the face of the earth. Yes. Leaving no desire, you've been down here. Certainly. He don't want you to live for Christ. He don't want you to do right. He don't want you to magnify the Lord. He wants you to rebel against the Lord. Don't you see? And so I haven't had any of the message yet. But anyway, listen, you're involved in spiritual battles. We are going to notice three things now. Number one, what does it mean to rule your own spirit? Maybe you just don't know. Well, you're going to find out. What does it mean to rule your own spirit? Number two, how does a Christian gain self-control? That would be good. Wouldn't that be good in your armor? I mean, fighting the devil and things like that. And then number three, what's the reward? You know there's a reward in it. And so we'll get started. Father, please help me. I want to be a blessing. You know I want to be a blessing. I just wish I knew how to convey it in a way that people would actually comprehend, understand, and grasp. And God, if you don't change the heart, if you don't do a work, Father, Spirit of God, will you work and will you teach truth? Will you do what I cannot do? Will you work in the heart of my brothers and sisters? Would you turn the light on that they may grasp, comprehend, and truly apply and understand and be the Christian that you want us to be? Please, I beg you, do something tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to rule your own spirit? Well, the Apostle Paul spoke of self-control, self-rule, as being temperate for a prize. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. He is temperate in all things." All right, the word temperate simply means rigid self-control. He said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He is talking about the kind of self-control that was practiced by an athlete with a view of winning a prize, the gold medal. An athlete governs everything he does in terms of winning the contest. He's going to be number one. He's going to be first. He's going to be the first one across the line, okay? Win the prize. Now, in order to get there, he governs what he eats. He don't go to McDonald's, and he certainly don't go to the ice cream place and this, that, and other. Now, if he's going to do a run, he might get some noodles. You got to have them. And those carbs are really good. Okay, but he governs where he eats. He governs where he goes. Now, the man will govern everything he does. The man will discipline himself with the prize in mind. Now, how about that? Now, that was a little bit more biblical. In the video. Get rid of the video games. Hey, they will control the crowd you spend time with. Control the crowd you spend time with. That's the books you read, the video shows, and the news you watch. Okay, never mind. That was free. Okay. Therefore, self-control, y'all coming back, right, is by this definition. It sure is getting quiet in here. This must be really hitting the spot, man. Praise God. Self-control is by this definition doing what is legal norm, Bob, Sarah. Sorry, Sarah. Self-control is by this definition doing what is legal and lawful to gain a claim at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, folks, there's rules to any race. Maybe you didn't know that. And we need to stay within the boundaries. That is, doing what the Bible says to do and keep from doing what it says not to do. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee the boundaries in the way which thou shalt run from me. Now, when you get outside the boundary, you're playing in the underbrush where the devil lives. God don't want his children playing in the... You don't want your children playing in the street, do you? Well, God loves you too much to let you go outside the boundary, keep playing in the street. You got to do what is needed to do to get you back in the race. In the race. Some of you folks not even got started yet. Sorry, but it's the truth. You're not even committed to the race yet. You're just hoping this thing hurry, get over with and get done. And be at home in heaven. Hey, folks, there's so much, I'm telling you, there's so much more to the Christian walk. And you folks are missing out. Just think what God might do with you, with all of your wires connected. You ever thought about that? But see, he don't have all there is of you. He may not have none of you yet, but maybe tonight. It usually takes me 3 days to get this through. I'm only page two. I'm just a little slow now. Okay. All right. So does that make sense? Doing what's legal and lawful to gain a claim at the judgment of Christ. Folks, it's doing what you need to do. It's doing right, doing what you need to do so that you will not be ashamed when you stand before Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ. We've already established the fact you're going to be there. Can't get out of it. Pointed unto men once to die, I'm sorry. You're going to die. After this, the judgment, you're going to be there. I'm telling you, you're going to be there. And if you're not careful, you're going to wake up and you're going to bury your face in your hands and say, Lord, I have nothing to show you that I love you. I live for myself, do what I want to do, and I've not paid careful attention to your instructions. And he says, oh, you wicked servant. Yeah. Or you can wake up one day and have a praise in mind. Well done. You were faithful in this world. You have no clue what I have planned for you. See, we're still, I don't know that we're actually listening. We're actually hearing. We hear, but we don't hear. And so it's doing what you need to do so that you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, one definition of self-control is controlling self to do that which will result in the praise of God at the judgment seat of Christ. And it could be tomorrow. I don't know when. People get drunk. Here's another example of self-control. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul says, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. You know what Paul was saying? He's simply saying this. Hey, folks, I tell my body what to do, and I don't let my body tell me what to do. Now, folks, that's good advice. Listen, your body will tell you tomorrow night you are tired, so stay home. You learned last night you can turn that thing off. Just turn him off like a bad TV program. Your body tells you, don't get up in the morning and have your devotions with the Lord. Don't do that. You stay in bed for an extra 30 minutes. And self-control says, I'm not going to let my body tell me what to do. I'm not going to stay in bed. Somebody say amen. Y'all still awake, right? I'm on page two. This is the Christian. You got to read the instructions in order to play the game. In order to run the race. To be what God wants. Some of you folks have been running the race and you've been trying to run the race without reading the manual. I'm just trying to help you. The more I know, the more I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm so far back in the woods, the birds are not flying. But I've come to learn some things. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to be the bad. You ought to be in the home with God's power. That you might teach them, young guys right there, that they might go and do something you cannot do. That's all. trying to help you. Listen, your body will tell you tomorrow night, stay home. You don't need to come. Well, I'll tell my body what to do. So what is self-control? Self-control is not letting your body tell you what to do. You are going to tell your body what to do. You folks remember Romans 6:6 last night? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that why were you crucified with him? Why did you die with Christ? That in order that the body of sin, a body dominated by the old sin nature, might be destroyed, the throne put out of office, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so don't let your body tell you what to do. You tell, no, we're not going to go down that road no more. Then there's men down that road. There's chastening down that road. We're not going down that road no more. I ain't doing it. You can go down there all you want to. Man, it's not fun. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I started that before. I should have started on salvation before I got started on all this. See, the natural man, you see, if you are a natural man, you receiveth not the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, this manual says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness under him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So what's the Bible saying? I'm sorry, if you're not saved, you do not grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth, because spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. God's saying, hey, you need to get saved so that you can begin to run the race. Begin to grasp, comprehend, and understand instructions. Hey, if I came to you right now and asked you for a Bible reason why you saved and know it, if you're saved and know it, can you give me one? I did that at one church. I only did it one time. They ran me off too. I had people come up to me and say, I sure am glad you didn't get me. I sure am glad you didn't get me. I'm thinking, probably wasn't even saved. Can you lead me to Christ? If I came to you and I asked, would you? I want to go to heaven too. Hey, lead me to Christ. What is it to be saved? Can you do that? Can you lead? Hey, if you can't lead me to Christ, you probably didn't get it. That's right. Hey, it's like me saying, Pastor, you're not married. I can tell him all day long, Pastor, you're not married. You're not married. Mm-hmm. I can say that all I want to. See, if I can talk you out of it, you probably didn't get it. You say, man, you don't fool around. Hey, will you look me up tonight? I'm in no hurry. Man, I'll stay here to 2. I'll tell you what. I'll stay here as long as it takes. I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm a soldier. And I want to help you. Maybe you need a salvation. Maybe this don't make sense to you. You can't wait to get out of here. Well, we need to sit down and talk, okay? I'm at the point now in my walk, I don't have time to fool around. If I'm going to do something for God, Brother Stephen need to get busy. Folks, if you're going to do something for... They told me that when I was ambassador. I was 40 years old. I graduated and I just got my bachelor's degree. And I went and I said, should I stay for the master's program? Brother Comfort said, well, how old are you? I said, I'm 40 years old. He said, well, you've wasted your life. If you're going to do something for God, you need to get busy. Well, man, praise God, at least there was somebody who had enough sense to say something right up straight, right? I said, man, I said, you're right, yes, sir, praise God, and I took off, man. We just need somebody to say something. Somebody stand up, say something. Girls, if the guys won't do it, stand up, say something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew. Anyway, I'll fight with you. I'll go to battle with you girls. Hey, girls are tough. You guys just ain't figured that out yet. Well, anyway, they are. In another place, Paul explains self-control in terms of restraint, okay? And I will let you get. I know there's bad weather coming on. I'm just going through slowly now. You know, I'm telling you, I get really fast, but I'm in no hurry. I just want to help you. You ought to have, you should have got something already that's going to help you. And this is just extra stuff just going on.
And so in another place, Paul, the Apostle Paul, explains self-control in terms of restraint. Restraint. I know it sounds a bad word, but it's good. 1 Corinthians 14:32, the Bible says, "And the spirits," get this, "and the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets." What does that mean? The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God can restrain himself. And so, if it is restraining self, it is restraining self from doing the wrong things at the wrong time. And so, Romans 6:12, the Apostle Paul said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should abet in the lust thereof." Paul told the Romans that self-control is refusing to allow sin to dominate their lives. We talked about that last night. The word sin here refers to the sin nature. The word reign means reign, to reign as a king, as a monarch. It is looking the sin nature right in the eye and saying, "You are not going to control me." Therefore, self-control is telling the sin nature, no. Hey, how many times did you turn off the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that you had today? I guess it's today. Remember, I asked you, did you even bother turning them off? Did you put into practice what you already know? You can turn off the old sin nature, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you have the same power over the old sin nature that you ought to have over that bad TV program. Y'all remember me saying that last night? You turn something on TV, not fit to watch, you turn that thing off. Does it cease to exist? No. Reputation, age, learning. My grandson wouldn't slow down for me. I'm just trying to slow down and back up and go. And I thought, that's pretty nice. I don't like playing with him when he leaves me so far back. And I thought, maybe you folks don't want me if I just go so far out. And I'm trying to I'm trying to figure out another way to communicate truth, love. And get you, come on. Some of us a little slower than others. Okay, and so, where was you going? I don't know, forget all that. Okay, let's get back to the book. Okay, "Let not sin therefore reign in the mortal body, that you should be in the lust thereof." You can say to the flesh nature, no. You are not going to control me. So self-control is telling the sin nature, no. And so Romans 8:13, the Bible says, "For if we live after the flesh," folks, "if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit of God, "do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." All right, it is dying to and killing the actions of the body. Are you willing to do that? Hey, folks, listen. Are you prepared tonight to mortify that deed of the body that is hindering you from growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do that? Therefore, self-control is death to self. It is dying to the tyranny of selfish desires. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Taking up your cross is taking up an instrument of death. When Jesus said, "Take up your cross," he was saying, exercise self-control. He was saying, die to self. Now, I'm going to preach on that one night this week. So I don't know how I get this done. Just not enough time anymore. Trying to explain the instruction manuals in 4 days is just not enough time. When a prisoner was crucified by Rome, it was his job to pick up his cross or cross beam, place it on his shoulders, and carry it out to the place of execution. When a prisoner took up his cross, look at me, he was good as dead. All that stood before him was death. He would do absolutely nothing else after he picked up his cross. He was a dead man. So when Jesus came into the field, folks, and said, "Hey, whosoever will come after me. Will you come out? Will you walk with me? Whosoever will come after me. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Well, he was making a profound statement. Jesus was saying, not only do I want you to commit to dying, denying self, I want you to commit to die. I want you to die. I want you to die daily. I want you more dead tomorrow than you were today. Glory! Some of you folks ain't even started dying yet. How dead are you? You dead enough that, someone say something bad about you, you don't respond? How about praise? Dead men don't respond to praise. Dead men don't respond to criticism. Praise the Lord. There is one person I must please on planet Earth, and that's Christ my Savior. I'm just delivering the mail. I make people mad. I make people mad. I don't even try. I really don't. I make my wife mad. She's one person I love most. I mean, why would I get her all upset? But you know, I work at it. I work at trying not to make her mad. Communication and all that like that. Don't look at me like that. You folks have problems too. Hey, I've got 40 years under my belt. It's work. Marriage is work. You're fooling yourself. You think it's not. But anyway, that's another. We ain't even got time for that yet. Okay. So taking up a cross is an instrument of death. He was simply saying, die to self. You need to say to your own self-centered, selfish desires, you need to say no. You need to say no. That's a decision. You don't wake up one morning and find out that you're saying no. You need to, by the grace of God, I'm going to say no. Hey, are you going to practice stopping at a stop sign when you go home this evening? Probably not. Okay. Acts 24, see, it starts with a decision. If you don't decide, you can forget it. You're not going to do it. It starts with you making a simple decision. You know what I'd do? I'd come up here and I'd cry out to God and say, God, I ain't going to leave. I want that sort of, I want to stop. Will you help me? I wonder if you'd even come up and ask him to help you stop. What is it that God wants to speak to you about? He says, if you won't meet him, hey, what makes you think what's in it for him? You come to him, say, God, I need help. He says, all right, way to go. Let me help you live the Christian. Let me help you stop at stop signs. But folks, if you don't come and meet the Lord, man, it's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? You're just not committed yet. What you afraid of? If you'll come back, I'll preach a message and I'll share with you why. God gives us four reasons why you won't commit. I thought, man, hearing, they don't hear. But see, you're smart and you know and you can hear. Y'all actually hear me, right? All right. I don't know, I wonder sometimes. People actually hear. It's amazing. More and more, I wonder if they actually, what do they hear? You're going to love this. I'm on page 4 now, and we're getting close. No, we're close, but. All right, Acts 24, verse 16, the Bible says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience. Always, not on Friday, always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Just as an athlete, get this, just as an athlete works out day in and day out to get his body in shape, you are to work out. You are to work out keeping your conscience clean. If you're going to live a godly life, if you're going to live a clean life, if you're going to be what God Almighty wants you to be, you have to do it by discipline. If you're going to be like, you're like Job, if you're going to stand before Christ, if you're going to be one of those who the practical righteousness, there was a practical righteousness and godliness about Job that so impressed God that he hurled his character in the face of Satan. You see? Satan came unto the Lord, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. One, I finally found one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Not one on the earth like that man. Why only Job? Come on, get some character." He's looking for character. Say, why don't you come and say, "God, I want to be like that. I want a practical, remember, you have not because? Yes. Well, I want a practical righteousness about my life that's so impresses you that you hurl my character in the face of Satan. I'll fight for you, Lord. Go for it." Well, I'm telling you, things are not going to go smoothly. Hey, folks, I get concerned when things go right. I really do. That's a different sort of life, isn't it? But what does self-control mean then? I'm just going to get there through this first part and we'll finish. And what does self-control mean? What were you saying, preacher? Well, self-control simply means to discipline yourself to do what is right and what you ought to do. Do right because it's right to do right. Stay within the boundaries. You're going to stand before God one day. He never told you something you could not do. You need to start calling God the truth, calling your flesh the liar. About time you look at the Word of God and say that it is the truth and look at how you feel and say, we're not going to go down that road. And so self-control is refusing to allow your body to tell you to stay in bed an extra 30 minutes. Going to help some of you, huh? Okay. Oh, and tell you what to do. Self-control is refusing to allow your carnal appetites and carnal lust tell you what to do. Man, that's a hard one getting through Walmart. Man, I mean, this thing, so they put them right at the door. Right at the door. As soon as you walk in the door, they're screaming, "Eat me, try me too. Eat me, eat me. Come over, try me too." Oh, man, get out of here. Y'all don't even hear that stuff, huh? I'm telling you. No! Get out of here. All right, go. And so self-control is restraint. See, self-control, you're not an athlete. Are you? So I want to fight with you. You see what I'm saying? I want to stand before God one day unashamed. Don't you? You said I didn't know it was going to be work. Well, self-control is restraint. Self-control is death to self. Self-control is temperance. Self-control is bridling your members. Bridling your members. You know that sin. Here's my hands. Do what you don't know. Self-control is something you work at 24/7 as you're going home tonight. Work on it. Something you work on 24/7, 365, 66 days a year. It's going against the tide of your sin nature. Your sin nature does not want restraints. Your sin nature does not want to be denied. Your sin nature, like mine, he's crying out for an upgrade. He wants the new thing coming down the... He wants what he wants, and he wants it now! I said, no! You know how hard that is? But you know what? You get some victories, you think, I got you there. But you better keep your guard up because next thing you know, he's right back again wanting his way. So it's going against the tide of the sin nature. It's swimming against the current. You know, some of them salmon don't make it. I'm telling you. It's ruling yourself rather than having your body or your circumstances or your desires rule over you. You say, no one can live that. No Christian can live that sort of life. Folks, I'm here to say that you can. And you ought to be living this sort of life. Don't live any other life. No sort of life. Whatever the life you want to live. You want to live in the flesh? Hey, you want to walk around all day long under the flesh? You want to walk around with thoughts of anger, envy, and jealousy and lust? Unsaved folks live like that. The successful Christian life. Here it is. The successful Christian life boils down to a matter of discipline yourself to do what you're supposed to do. Didn't get it. Okay. It's a matter of obedient living. Oh, no. Y'all do remember the story I told you before about the dog? It changed me. See, I was beginning to get more and more and more and more, and God began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. And I was in Ohio, and I was handing out a gospel tract to this fella. I know some of you didn't hear it because some of you knew here. I was handing out a gospel tract to this guy, and he said, "Can't you see I'm blind?" "Oh, well, you got dark glasses on. People wear dark." I'm learning people have dark glasses on for other reasons. And he said, "Well, I'm blind." I said, "Well, I didn't know that." He said, "Well, you see my dog?" I said, "No, I don't see your dog." He said, "You see my cane?" "No, I don't see your cane." I'm kind of like, "Well." He says, "Are you blind too?" "No, I'm not blind." I said, "You're behind the counter." And he says, "Well, come over here and meet my dog." I said, "Okay." I come around, walk around the counter. Hey, it's just first time I got it the first time. It didn't take me 25 years to get it. First time I heard it. And so I walked around the counter. "Oh, hello." I said, "It's a pretty dog." He said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah." He said, "You're a preacher?" "I'm an evangelist. I'm a gift." Oh, everybody like gifts. "I'm a gift from God." Yeah. "Do you obey God?" "Huh?" He said, "Chocolate. Roll over." The dog rolled over. Then he took his finger and he hit me right there. He said, "You obey God that way?" Boy, I wish I had more wires connected. At this point, I said, "Huh?" He said, "Chocolate. Give me your paw." Give me his paw. He hit me a second time. He said, "You obey God that way?" Dummy. I said, "Huh?" See, I'm still trying. See, I'm a little slow, too. I'm slower than you think I am. He hit me a second time, and then he told the dog to play dead, and he played dead. And the dog just looked. I said, "Man, he looked dead." Now, you know what I observed? The dog didn't pray. He didn't bother praying. He didn't bark. He didn't argue with his mouth. You know what he did? He... I thought, man. And then he hit me a third time. Folks, I'll never forget it. That is as if God hit me right there. He said, "Son, do you obey God that way?" And now I got right with God. You see, I finally got serious. I said, "No, sir. I do not obey God that way." He says, "Why don't you obey Him that way?" Folks, it starts with a simple decision. If you think that obeying God is done some other way, folks, you're going to walk out the way you came in. You're fooling yourself. There has to be a decision. That's right. That is Christianity 101. And now you got the truth. What you going to do with it? No coming back, right? All right, some of you will. All right, that wasn't even free. Okay, I am getting done. It's only 5 after. Okay, I got two. Stay case. Just turn him off. Turn the old sinner. Okay, hurry it up. All right, I won't get these kids to get them to sleep. Okay, so the successful Christian life boils down to a matter of discipline yourself to obey God. Okay, he that ruleth his spirit is actually the Christian who is controlling himself by submitting to the rule of the Holy Spirit of God. Did you get that? Committing himself to the rule of the Holy Spirit of God as expressed in the Word of God. Psalm 37, verse 23, I've already alluded to that on Sunday. The steps of a good Christian, good man, are ordered by the Lord. Now, if you were that good man, I hope that you are. If not, you ought to be. You would let God be in charge. Now, when God gives you marching orders like play dead, roll over, stop your complaining, study to show thyself approved unto God, I want bitterness, wrath, anger gone. I want you now to be kind and tenderhearted and loving one another. Even no way, I ain't doing it. Then if you were that, then you would let God call the shots, and then you would discipline yourself to die. You would discipline yourself to stop your complaining. You would discipline yourself to, I don't know how to get it down any lower. You know what I'm saying? Y'all still love me, right? Y'all going to pray for me, because there's others don't like me much. I'm telling you what. They hear me. They sent me out in my suitcase down the road. Something ain't right. Okay, so I submit to you that discipline is hard. It's hard to discipline yourself to stop at a stop sign. It's hard to discipline yourself when your wife is screaming. You love her and to be not bitter against them. It's in the book. It's in the book. I mean, got to be one out there somewhere. He said, so y'all don't think. You just don't think. Okay. The most natural instinct is just to do what you feel like doing, Norm. To do what you want to do what your body and flesh dictates to do. Well, it feels good, do it. So the child of God has a tremendous advantage over the unsaved. See, that is, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. See, the born-again believer, we have a tremendous advantage over the unsaved folks. He has the advantage of the person and the work of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God can enable you to do what is not the normal thing to do. You make the decision. Discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. And folks, God can come alongside now and do what you cannot do. And that is stop, just stop saying. Galatians 5:22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. Self-control is that which the Holy Spirit of God produces in you as you yield yourself to Him. I'm simply saying this, if your body is in charge, you're not going to like it, but if your body is in charge, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If your body is calling the shots, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because when the Holy Spirit of God fills you, one of the things He produces in you as an individual is self-control, self-rule, or temperance. That's right. You find me a Christian filled with the Spirit, I'm going to show you a Christian who is in charge and in control of his life. He don't live by the passions of the flesh. He doesn't live by the crisis of the twin towers being hit. Boom! A crisis of an hour. No, he lives by the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. He lives by the guidance of the Word of God, folks. Yeah, big difference. Big difference. But he never told you something you could not do. Don't you see? You are best in control of your emotions. This is a good one. Emotions, your desires, your passions, and your nature when your spirit controlled. The fruit of the Spirit of temperance. To be in self-control is to be under the rule of the Holy Spirit of God. It is to be doing what the Holy Spirit of God says. The Spirit-filled Christian is a Christian who ruleth his own spirit. It is disciplining yourself through self-denial and with restraint and requiring yourself to obey what God says. So we have noticed, number one, what does it mean to rule your own spirit? It simply means to discipline yourself, to do what you ought to do, and to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come back tomorrow night.